The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of Mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, he is the greatest amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how beautifully Hazrat Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions regarding the blessed Zaat, or you can say regarding reciting Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very beautifully he says, إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ مَوْقُوفٌ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا يَسْعَدُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ حَتَّى تُصَلِّيَ عَلَى نَبِيِّكَ sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, he says, indeed, dua remains suspended between the earth and the sky and nothing ascends from it unless you recite salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayki ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, nurin min nurillah. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode and silsila of this series known as The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, today we are back with another beautiful, exciting topic. But before we discuss the name or the topic for today, subhanallah, let's all very beautifully first make good intentions, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi, the intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah, let's all make good intentions, inshallah. When I hear the name of Allah, I will glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will say Jalla Jalaluhu or Ta'ala subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will mention the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I hear the blessed name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, whenever, whatever intentions are made during the discourse, during the discussion, and inshallah azawajal, I will make those intentions firmly from the bottom of my heart, subhanallah. These types of good intentions and good virtuous intentions everyone should make. You know, you say, the more the merrier, the more intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Our topic for today, Allah, 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 Allah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful topic, a topic which needs to be discussed, a topic which is a question mark in the minds and the hearts of many people out there, Allah. And the topic for today is the causes of poverty, the causes of, you know, be barakati in your sustenance, in your rizq, the causes for the loss of your sustenance. This will be our topic for today. Every person, you know, every person, sabke paas ek hi rona hai. Everyone has the same worry. You know, munasab, what's the issue? Munasab, there's no barakat in my business. Munasab, lots of debt. Munasab, I have to pay this, I have to pay this fees, I have to do that. Munasab, I have this accounts to settle. Munasab, I have this curse to give back. Everyone has the same problem. And what is that? That is the lack of sustenance, the bare barakati in the sustenance, you know, and it is a problem. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever He wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give all the riches of the world. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can take everything from a single person. Nobody can question the zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can question the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can question the will and the divine desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, there are many things which you and I are doing on a daily routine, on a daily basis, and those are the causes of the loss in our sustenance, the causes of the decrement in our sustenance, the causes why there is bebarakati. Many times we are doing things and we don't even realize that because of that there is a decrease in our sustenance. So today inshallah we'll be discussing this. It is something very important, a beautiful topic. Sit back, relax, enjoy, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will leave this discussion today with something very beautifully. Make an intention also that inshallah I will listen to the entire discussion from beginning to end. Because believe me you, today inshallah we are going to be learning some new things, some things which we never hear before in our life. Allah Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Very beautifully, I would begin today's discussion with one very beautiful narration. And it is mentioned that the great scholar of hadith, Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was once invited by the Khalifa of Baghdad, the Caliph of Baghdad, Mamun Rashid. After eating, Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi began to pick up and eat the bits of food that had fallen down. You know, sometimes you eat and there are some bits of food which fall on the dining mat, on maybe on the floor, on your lap, whatever the case is. So Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi began picking up the bits of food, the particles of food, and he started eating it. So astonished, the Khalifa Mamun Rashid, he asked and he said, "Oh Shaykh, rahmatullahi ta'ala, are you not yet full? You're eating from the floor, you're eating the bits which fell down. Are you not full? Do you want some more food?" Allah, 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 Allah. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, very briefly replied and he said, "I am full, but I have heard a hadith from Sayyidina Hammad bin Salama, radiyallahu ta'ala. And what was that hadith? That whoever picks up and eats fallen bits of food from the dining mat will get free from the fear of poverty." Allah Allah, I am acting upon the same blessed hadith. Picking up that niwala, picking up the bits which fall, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that he will get free from the fear of poverty. So that's why I'm acting upon that hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Allah Allah. In other words, with this aqidah, that definitely the words which left the blessed mouth of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no possibility that it can be false. Definitely it is true. And if my Nabi said that by eating those bits from the dining mat or from the floor, whatever it is, eating those bits of food that fell down, I will be free from the fear of poverty, then I'm acting upon this hadith to be free from the fear of poverty. Allah Allah Allah. The Khalifa was very impressed with this answer of Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi ta'ala. So the Khalifa pointed out to one of his servants, one of his slaves, and the servant brought 1,000 dinars, 1,000 gold coins wrapped up in a handkerchief and gave it to Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi ta'ala as a gift. So Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi ta'ala very beautifully said, "Alhamdulillah, the blessing of following the hadith has appeared straight away." Allah, Allah, Allah. In other words, my Nabi said, the summary of which, if you eat the bits of the food fallen, then you will be removed from the fear of poverty. And immediately the Khalifa gave him 1,000 gold coins as a gift. Allah, Allah, Sayyidina Hudba said that immediately I saw the blessings and the trueness of the words of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that now I ate the pieces and immediately I received 1,000 gold coins as a reward. Allah Allah. This is the words of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers, from this incident, we very beautifully learn two important lessons. There are many lessons which we learn, but just two important lessons which we learn from this beautiful incident. Number one, that undoubtedly the words which leave the blessed mouth of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, subhanallah, that is definitely accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those actions, those words are definitely going to take place, and there is no doubt, nobody can deny it, nobody can go against it, subhanallah. And the second beautiful point which we learn in this blessed narration is that we need to have the qadr, the respect, the adab for the food which we are eating. This is unfortunately a problem. I mean, this is also one of the causes of poverty, one of the causes of the decrement in your sustenance, in your rizq. What is that a person, Many of us have this habit, unfortunately. We eat, we eat, we eat, and while we're eating, we'll drop on the dining mat, we'll drop on the floor. And a'yadhu billah, some people, after dropping, they even, without even looking, they just stamp on it also. They even stamp on the food. And this is showing clear disrespect towards the rizq which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Whenever you eat, keep this in your mind. There are millions and millions and millions of people out there who do not have food to eat. There are hundreds and thousands of people out there who are dying to eat the same food which you are eating. And when you eat, you waste that food. We first of all are greedy, we are hungry. You know, when you're hungry, our eyes are bigger than our stomach, so we'll fill our plates like a whole mountain. We'll make lots of things in our plates. And we'll eat only this much because our eyes are bigger. Our stomach can't take everything. We can't eat a whole pot to ourselves, no matter how hungry we are. Yes, we say we'll eat this, I'll eat this, I'll eat this, I'll eat this. But when the time comes, we all know our stomach can only capacitate a little amount. So we eat something little and then we take a big burp, a loud burp, with no respect. And then we said, now I'm full. And all that food which we took out in our plate, either we'll throw it away, a'yadhu billah, or we'll leave it there until it gets rotten, or we'll, you know, leave it outside for the animals to eat, for the dogs, or whatever the case is. But the point which I want to discuss is, why did you waste that food in the first place? When you knew you couldn't eat that much food, why did you take out so much food? And if you took out that much food, then finish the food. At least finish the food which you took out for yourself. Nobody is asking you to finish the whole pot, but at least that which you took out, you must finish it. Because if you're going to waste that food, let's know that wasting of that food is a cause of the decrement in your sustenance. And number two, whilst eating, be careful. If there's a plate in front of you, you move forward. When you're taking a morsel of the food, Agniwala, then put your hand under it. So if anything falls, it falls on your hand. From that hand, you pick up and you eat it. Maybe put a chadar below you. So if, whilst eating, even if your hand is under you or you dropped, in other case, it falls on the chadar. You pick it up and you eat it. And move forward to the table. Don't sit relaxing and laying and spreading your feet. And then from far, you pick up one morsel and you bring it. And while the time you bring it to your mouth, 2-3 grains of rice or whatever it is falls on the ground. And you don't even worry. No. On the other hand, if something falls down, even if something falls down, then immediately bend yourself and pick it up. If it's on the floor, pick it up, kiss it, put it on your eyes, and then eat it. It fell on the dining mat, pick it up. It fell on your lap, pick it up. It fell on your hand, eat it. There's nothing wrong. But how many of us act upon this? Tomorrow or next time you have a meal, look at yourself. First see how much you take out, then see how much you eat, then see how much you wasted, then see how much you dropped. When you get the answer to all of these questions, then ask yourself that the reason why there is no barakat in my rizq, the reason why, you know, I have lots of businesses, I have this, I have that, but nothing is increasing. Maybe the problem is that I am showing disrespect towards the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why this problem, these issues are taking place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, save us, and, you know, enable us to have the proper adab and respect for the rizq and the sustenance which He provides us. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbil Alameen. Very beautifully it is mentioned in volume 3 of Tafsir Siratul Jinan that when Muslims show ingratitude, ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they adopt heedlessness in remembering Allah azza wa jal, they get busy in satisfying the desires of their nafs, means their inner self, and prove themselves to be worthy of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to committing bad deeds abundantly, then Allah azza wa jal takes the blessings back from them that were bestowed upon them. Allah ta'ala takes the blessing back because that was bestowed upon you, it was given to you and you weren't valuing it. And when you don't value anything, obviously the thing is taken away from you. You are given a post, let's say as a manager, or a floor manager in a certain company, in a bank, whatever the case is, and you don't value it. I mean, you go whenever you want to go, you leave whenever you want to leave, you don't do your work is not up to date, the people are not happy with you, nothing. Eventually, what's going to happen? One month you'll stay, 2 months you'll stay, 3 months you'll stay. Eventually, what will happen? People will say, you know, this is your letter. Please, from tomorrow, don't come to work. Or now you are fired. Or from this position, you are now a normal employee. Employee, and you know, this, whatever the case is. So the moment you lose the value of something, automatically that bounty is taken away from you, without any example. Also in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you so many bounties. He gave you food, he gave you water, he gave you transport, he gave you money, he gave you wealth, he gave you a family, he gave you a car, he gave you a house, he gave you so many things. In return, what you're doing is you showing ungratefulness. He gave you food, you're wasting the food. He gave you water, you're wasting the water. And he gave you risk, you're wasting the risk. You're showing disrespect to, that you are disrespecting the risk. He gave you a car, you're abusing it. He gave you a house, you don't thank him for it. So obviously the time is going to come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take the blessings back. Because now you are showing ungratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very important that we need to protect ourselves from showing disrespect, from showing ungratefulness towards the risk and sustenance. On the other hand, we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, explaining the significance, the excellence of gratitude and the destructiveness of ungratefulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the 7th ayah of Surah Ibrahim, the 13th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Very clear Allah Ta'ala mentioned. And remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will give you more. And if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe. So Allah Ta'ala has made it. The decision is done. If you are grateful, you will get more. You are ungrateful, you will lose everything. So the choice is yours. You can increase your risk. You can increase. There will be barakah inshallah. Yes, you won't be a millionaire maybe. Maybe you are not a billionaire, whatever the case is. But there will be barakah. Whatever little you have, even that will suffice you. By Allah, the moment you start trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even little will start sufficing you. But the choice is yours. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase for you. The moment you start showing ungratefulness, you don't like this, or you are detesting so and so thing, then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that bounty. He will take away that bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. So this is one of the causes of our risk, our sustenance being decreased from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very beautiful hadith which is also mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah Sharif, that the mother of the believers, Sayyida Tayyiba Tahira Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, subhanahu, the beloved and blessed wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved mother and the blessed daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, she mentions and she says, the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered his blessed home and saw a piece of bread lying on the ground. Allah Allah Allah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked it up, cleaned it, and then ate it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Very beautifully Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aishatu akrimi kariman fa innaha ma nafarat an qawmin qattu fa'adat ilayhim. Allah Allah Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, honor the good thing as this thing, that is the bread, has not returned to any nation once it turned away from it. Honor it, respect it. This risk, this bread, this sustenance, this roti, once it was taken away from a nation, it hasn't been returned to that nation. So when you have it, have qadr, have the value of this risk, and honor and respect this risk from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it is our duty that every person, you know, should have the adab and the respect towards the risk. At the same time, a person needs to protect himself from showing any disrespect or any, you know, bare adabi towards the risk and the sustenance, the food, the water, whatever the case is. Very beautifully, the second Khalifa of Islam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has narrated that the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Subhanallah, eat together, do not eat separately, as blessing is with the group. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Means eat together, inshallah. There will be barakah, there will be blessings. So one more reason how we can increase our barakah, how we can increase the barakah in our rizq, in our sustenance. When you're eating, don't eat alone. No, eat together, eat with your family. Yes, your wife, your children, your parents, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. Eat together. Inshallah, when you eat, there will be muhabbat, there will be love, there will be unity. At the same time, there will be barakah and there will be blessings as well. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Wahshi bin Harb, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, very beautifully narrates from his grandfather that the blessed companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, humbly said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do eat food, but do not get full. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must be eating separately. They replied, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat sitting together and recite Bismillah. There will be blessing for you in your food. Allah, 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 subhanallah. Eat together, recite Bismillah. Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in your food, inshallah. That little food will make you full. That little food will bring about happiness and muhabbat amongst each other. That little food, you will see how much barakah there will be in that rizq from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the first ways which a person can, you know, increase his sustenance, can increase his rizq from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So that, you know, when a person eats something which is haram, when a person eats something which is doubtful, you must keep in mind that thing has an effect on the person's heart. A person who eats rubbish, a person who eats haram, slowly, slowly his heart starts becoming hard. And when his heart starts becoming hard, then no nasihat, no advice, nothing has any effect on that person. Then a person does whatever he wants, basically he becomes like an animal. Whatever he wants, he does. However he wants, he does it. Whenever he wants, he can do it. Nothing has any effect upon him because he is putting haram in his body. So definitely his thoughts are going to be filthy. His mind is going to be filthy. His desires will be filthy. His actions will be filthy. His mouth will be filthy. Everything will be filthy. Why? Because everything started from that morsel which he put in his mouth. So very beautifully we were discussing the causes for the lack of sustenance, for the reducement in our sustenance, in our rizq, Allah Allah. And we discussed the first very important point was that showing bay hurmati, showing bay adabi, and showing disrespect towards the rizq and the sustenance which is showered upon you from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important reason which is a cause for the lack of sustenance is when a person starts disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he starts committing sins, then that is also one of the reasons why he faces various problems. And one of those problems is that he starts depending on others. He starts, you know, he has unemployment. He doesn't have anywhere to work. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have any earnings. Why? Because of his bad actions. Very beautifully, Allah Ta'ala mentions in Ayah 30 of Surah Ash-Shura, part, the 25th para, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah, Allah, Allah. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And whatever calamity befell you, that is because of what your hands have earned, and He pardons much. The difficulty, the calamity, the problem, the affliction which is coming on you, what Allah Ta'ala mentions, that is because of what your hands have earned. It is your amal, it is your action. Commentating on this beautiful ayah, Mufti Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentions and he says, it implies that the adversities and hardships that believers suffer in this world are mostly due to their own sins. Aksar jo aapke masle masail pareshaniya hai, it is because of your sins, because of your bad deeds, because of you disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, he says Allah Azza wa Jal makes these hardships an expiation for their sins. When a person is in these difficulties, in these hardships, and he makes sabr, and he still controls himself, then his sins are being wiped away. But the reason why he is in this hardship is because of his sins. His bad actions, his disobeying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the reasons in which there is a lack of our sustenance. And Allah, Allah, this is one of the reasons which is found with every person. Maybe the first, point we discussed, that's not found with every person. Maybe some people eat with adab, you know, they respect, they pick up and they eat, they kiss. Right, so that's a different case. But this issue and this problem is with every person. Because there is no person who can claim, I did not commit sins. There is no person who claims that, you know, I am perfect. There is no person who can claim that, you know, I don't have any gunah. No. Every person is a, you know, we can say a figure of mistakes. There's thousands and thousands and millions and billions of sins which we commit on a daily basis, and we don't even know about them. There are sins we know about, there are sins we don't know about, there are sins we do openly, there are sins we do secretly, there are sins we announce, there are sins we hide. There are so many categories of sins which we are performing daily, and on top of that we do not even ask for tawbah from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then definitely this is one of the causes why there is bebarakati in your rizq. So the next time you go to Mulana Sahib and you say, Mulana Sahib, why, you know, karubar mein barkat nahi hai, Mulana Sahib, I have to pay this fees, Mulana Sahib, I have to do that, I have so much stress, I don't have any risk, I don't have money, I don't have any earnings, then ask yourself, these two reasons which we discussed today, is any one of them found in you? Maybe if the first one is not found, the second one will definitely be found in you. Then ask yourself, what wrong are you doing? What haram are you doing? What wrong, what illicit things are you watching? What filthy things are you saying? What filthy things are you speaking about? What filthy things are you looking at? Are you listening to? Are you saying? Are you doing? Which sins are you doing? What bad things are you doing? Then stop yourself from all of those things. You will see, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open His doors of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the way for you, the path for you. And very beautifully, a very important hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in front of me, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that dua changes destiny and lifespan increases by the virtue of good deeds. Indeed, due to sin, a man is deprived of the sustenance which was to reach him. The rizq was going to reach you, but you did so much faulty actions that rizq, it didn't end up coming to you. So the second cause of the lack of your sustenance is that a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, another important cause, reason, sabab, why a person has the lack of sustenance is fornication, which is adultery, zina, al-ayazu billah. Unfortunately, this is also an act which exists in our society. Yes, and we know of people. People know it. Al-ayazu billah, people do this act even openly, freely. And they even tell other people, this madhala, this act I have done. This zina, this fornication, this adultery I have done. Whereas many places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us, prohibited us from this filthy and disgusting major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the 32nd ayah of Surah Bani Israel, the 15th part of the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and do not even go near zina. Do not even go near zina. What is zina? Unlawful sexual intercourse, basically. It is indeed shamelessness and a very evil way. Do not even go near zina, Allah Ta'ala is saying. Not don't commit zina. No, don't even go near to zina. All those things which lead you towards zina, even save yourself from those things as well. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned, and he said, fornication is a very big sin among major sins. And the one who commits fornication will remain under the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, His angels and all human beings until the day of judgment. And if he repents, Allah Azza wa Jal will accept his repentance. Allah, Allah, Allah. You must remember, fornication doesn't only mean that a man and a woman establish, you know, an unlawful physical relationship and they commit an act of indecency. No, no, no. But the various sins committed by a person through his eyes, through his ears, through his tongue, through his hands and feet, they all have been declared as fornication in the blessed hadith. As very beautifully Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, fornication of eyes is unlawful gazing. Likewise, another beautiful hadith is mentioned that fornication of the eyes is to see, fornication of the ears is to listen, fornication of the tongue is to speak, fornication of the hand is to touch, and fornication of the foot is to walk with it. So you are committing. You know, somebody will say, Munasab, we're not committing zina, al-a'udhu billah. No, I have a wife, I have family and that. But there is zina of the eyes as well. There is zina of the ears as well. There is zina of your hands, of your foot. of your tongue. See what you're looking at, see what you're listening to, see what you are saying, see what you are speaking, see what you are looking at, see where you, what you are touching, see where you are going. All of these things are the zina of your body parts. So nobody can claim that, you know, Munasab, I'm not committing zina. No, no, look at your eyes. What filthy things are you watching? Look at your ears. What filthy things are you listening to? Look at your hands. What filthy things are you touching? Look at your tongue. What filthy things are you uttering? Look at your feet. Which filthy places are you going to? All of this is the zina of your body parts. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that az-zina yurisul faqra. Allah, Allah, Allah. That fornication is a cause of poverty. My Nabi has mentioned that zina is a cause of the decrement of your sustenance. There is no barakah, there is no blessings in your risk, in your sustenance. It's a cause of poverty. Then that is definitely one of the reasons why there is a lack of your sustenance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Allah azza wa jal has said, I have decided that I will make the fornicator poor. The one committing zina, I will make him poor. That means I will make him dependent upon others, even if it is after a short period of time. But I have decided that I will make him poor. So this is the third reason why there is a lack in our sustenance. A reason why there is a decrement in our sustenance. Now I ask you, how many of us are doing this action daily? One more hadith regarding this zina and this fornication, adultery. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very beautifully mentioned, and he says, keep away from adultery as it contains six harms. Three are worldly harms and three are related to the year after. The worldly harms are as follows. Number one, it removes the freshness of the face. The noor, the light of your face, it removes it. Number two, it creates poverty, means dependency upon others. You will become dependent upon others. And number three, it decreases age. Allah, further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the harms, or it is mentioned that the harms in the afterlife are these. Number one, it will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be strictness in accountability, and the adulterer will enter hell, will enter Jahannam. Al-A'yadu Billah. Tubu ila Allah. Astaghfirullah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. So this is one of the reasons why there is a lack in sustenance. There is a lack in our, there is no barakah in our sustenance. One more point I want to discuss: interest. Interest is also one of the causes for the lack in sustenance. As very beautifully it's mentioned that إياكم والربا فإنه يورث الفقر. That refrain from interest, riba, as it brings poverty. Allah, Allah, Allah. And very strongly, the Quran has condemned this interest, this riba. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the third para, Surah Baqarah, ayat number 278-279, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wazaru ma baqiya minal riba in kuntum mu'mineen, fa'in lam taf'aloo fa'adhanu biharbin minallahi wa rasoolih, وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Translation from Kanz al-Iman, O believers, fear Allah and give up the remaining usury owed to you if you are Muslim. And if you do not act upon this, then be certain of a war with Allah and His Messenger. And if you repent, then take back your initial amount, neither causing loss to anyone else, nor facing loss yourself. Another beautiful place it is mentioned, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. Allahu Akbar. Translation from Ganz al-Iman, those who consume usury, interest, will not stand up on the day of judgment, but like the one who is possessed by an evil spirit, making him insane. That is because they said, trade is also like usury, and Allah has made trading lawful and has made usury unlawful. Commenting on this beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran, Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala, very beautifully he mentioned, and he says, it means that the way a person who is under the influence of a jinn cannot stand straight and walks unsteadily, the usurer, means the one who gives and takes interest, will be in the same state on the day of judgment. His stomach will be very heavy with usury, with interest, and he will fall down due to its burden. Allahu Akbar. Here Rahmatullahi Ta'ala further states, this ayah has declared usury to be haram and has condemned the usurers, the ones who take interest. There is a lot of wisdom behind declaring usury to be haram. Some of it we will mention now. Number one, the practice of usury ruins trades. The usurer considers it very easy to obtain wealth without making any effort as compared to going through the difficulties and risks of trade. Moreover, lack of trade harms the human life. Second reason, the trend of usury affects mutual affection. When a person becomes used to receiving interest, then he does not like to help anyone by lending him any money without interest. Number three, usury makes a person crueler than even beasts. The usurer keeps wishing for his debtor to be ruined. In addition to this, usury contains other severe harms as well. Moreover, Sharia forbidding it certainly has wisdom behind it. Let's listen to some sayings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, if anyone knowingly consumes one dirham of usury, it is even severer than committing fornication 36 times. Number two, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, on the night of Mi'raj, I passed by such people whose stomachs were very big, like houses. There were snakes in their stomachs that were visible from the outside of their stomachs. I asked, O Jibreel alayhi salam, who are these people? He replied, they are usurers, the people who would take interest. Number three, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, although usury might bring an apparent increase in wealth, but eventually it will decrease the wealth. And commenting on this beautiful hadith, Allama Abdul Rauf Manawi rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned, he says, by the means of usury, wealth increases very rapidly, but the doors of the destruction of wealth that open upon the usurer gradually decrease his wealth and finally brings it to an end. So initially you'll see, you know, he's earning a lot of money. Yes, he's enjoying everything, but jaise aaya hai waise hi jayega. As the money came, that's how the money will leave you. There will be problems, there will be difficulties, there will be troubles, there will be a thousand things in which that money will leave you within few minutes and you won't even realize that all that money is gone. Why? Because all that money was haram. When taking, you were enjoying. Huh? Whilst eating, you were enjoying. But that's how that money will leave you. So these are just some, you know, ways which we discussed. There are many, many other reasons why there is a cause for a lack in our sustenance. But these are just some I discussed. Showing bay hurmati, showing, you know, the disrespect towards the risk. Committing zina, committing bad deeds, taking interest, usury. All of these are signs and reasons why there is no barakah in your risk. So tomorrow, when you come and ask Mawlana Asab, then ask yourself this question. Is any of these qualities found in me? Am I doing any of these actions? If yes, then by Allah, refrain now. Make tawbah now. Whoever's rights you have violated, fulfill those people's rights, make sincere tawbah, and from today make an intention that I will respect the risk, I will not take interest, I will not give interest, I will not commit zina, I will not commit zina of my eyes, of my ears, of my tongue, of my hands, of my feet, whatever the case is. And most importantly, I will save myself from committing filthy and disgusting deeds. I will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With these few words, we come to the conclusion and of today's discussion, and very beautifully we discussed some very beautiful points. But we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act upon whatever we have learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the straight path, keep us on sirat al-mustaqim, keep us firm on maslaki haq, maslaki al hazrat, maslaki ahl sunnah wal jama'ah. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah you lose everything. Subhanallah. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you abundance of barakah. Be positive. Think positive. Stay positive. Remain positive. We hope to see you soon, inshallah. Till then, remain happy. Be happy. Keep me, my parents, and the whole world and the entire ummah in your dua. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance. The light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, The light of guidance, the light of guidance.